WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When the 1960 film Spartacus was released, several scenes were cut by censors. In one of them, a master asks his slave boy about his taste and appetite for both oysters and snails, intimating something about sexual preference. The censors thought seafood was too suggestive and wanted it to be replaced with artichokes and truffles. When the filmmakers refused the changes, the scene was out. Now the film's been restored, oysters, snails, and all, by Richard Harris, the man who restored Lawrence of Arabia. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review.
Coming between the opulent re-releases of two great movies, Lawrence of Arabia and Citizen Kane, the restoration of Spartacus looks a little out of place. Spartacus may have been the best of the old sword and sandals epics, but it still creaks along as campily as the most muscle-bound Victor Mature blunderbuss. Stanley Kubrick, of all people, directed it when he was 31, and in a way the movie reflects the split that was developing in his own sensibility. Kubrick was a kid from the Bronx, but he had a mile-wide streak of Anglophilia, and in fact, a year after Spartacus was released, he moved to England for good. So it's not surprising that the movie is divided between American earnestness and British irony. The Americans on the team included Kirk Douglas, the movie's star, but also its producer, Howard Fast, who wrote the novel the film was based on, and Dalton Trumbo, the screenwriter. Fast and Trumbo had been victims of the Hollywood blacklist, and the zillions lavished on a movie with their name on it marked the end of that dark chapter. Not surprisingly, they saw Spartacus as a message picture. It's the story of the slave revolt led by the gladiator Spartacus against the Roman Empire, but Fast and Trumbo have turned it into a mildly Marxist lecture on the evils of capitalism, the camaraderie of the workers, and the decadence of their owners. Leave it to the Americans to play all this stuff straight, with Douglas pouring on the rock-jawed nobility, and no one ever quite realizing how unintentionally hilarious all these brawny stars look, suffering in their togas and yelling lines like, "Hey, Spartacus, what do you think you're doing?" Listen to young Tony Curtis as the slave Antoninus when he's questioned by the evil Roman general Crassus, played by Laurence Olivier, who's just received him as a gift.
Antoninus, Sicilian, age 26, singer of songs. For whom did you practice this wondrous talent?
For the children of my master, whom I also taught the classics.
Classics indeed. What position have we, I wonder, for a boy of such varied gifts? You shall be my body servant. Instruct him.
All of you come with me.
Olivier is magnificent in this movie, and so are all the other British actors. They knew how to play this sort of stuff. And why wouldn't they? They had a rich tradition of British stage acting to fall back on, so unlike the Americans, they didn't find the idea of putting on a silly costume and playing a historical figure an occasion for greater solemnity. On the contrary, they could make it fun. And so Olivier gives Crassus's villainy a lip-curling vigor that charges the whole movie. Gene Simmons makes Verinia, Spartacus's wife, at once passionate and winsomely humorous. But the best entertainment is to be had from those two old cut-ups, Peter Ustinov as a slave trader and Charles Laughton as the Senator Gracchus. These two threw away a lot of Trumbo's sober dialogue and came up with their own, and it's great, bawdy material. Whenever they're on screen, the movie sails. It sails during its battle scenes, too, which Kubrick has directed with a Kurosawa-like splendor, and in the gladiator boot camp scenes, in which Kubrick takes an early look at what would prove to be his favorite theme, the psychosis of men at war, men isolated from women. Spartacus is too goofy to be a great movie, but see it anyway. It's probably the most beguiling curiosity in town.
Film critic Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair. I'm Frank Browning. This is Fresh Air.